Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, rugby.
Ireland have proven time and time again, except for that one big match, that they can beat anyone on their day. So obviously what they're doing is very, very good. I'm just looking for that little 1.5% extra.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The League of Ireland pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hello and you are welcome to the latest edition of the League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle with you here again. Shamrock Rovers champions, Derry City and Shelburne qualifying for Europe. Cork City relegated and Waterford facing a relegation playoff against Bray Wanderers this Friday night. Bohemians and Derry City, of course, will be keeping a close eye on the FAI Cup final this Sunday between Shamrock Rovers and Cork City. And to discuss it all with me this week, as ever, I'm joined by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McLean. The League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00, refreshingly alcohol-free, always be drink aware, get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. Lads, we'll be naming our teams of the year later on, so I'd encourage anybody listening to stay tuned for that one. I want to look back on Saturday's final day first, though. Sullivan and Lamb Park. Actually, as I descended the steps at Sullivan and Lamb Park down from our commentary position, Gareth, overbounds Vinnie Perth in what I can only describe what looked like a, what do you call the thing you put in your hot water tank upstairs? The
lagging jacket.
Lagging jacket. My God, he was like a walking lagging jacket coming over us. And there he is there in the jumper. I tell you, this fella
got a lagging jumper on.
As me granny would say, he's got fish blood, this fella. He's always feeling the cold, obviously.
Cold as ice.
But you were certainly, you certainly seem to have enjoyed the game anyway, Vinny. What a match it was. 4-1
to
both.
Yeah, it was a great, probably 70 minutes. Obviously, the ending of it changed everything in terms of Bowles ran away with it. Draw to the sending off couldn't really cost them, and they lost the run of it, got a little bit disorientated, whatever. But it was a brilliant game of football, Stephen. The first 2 minutes of that game was exceptional. Like, it was everything that League of Ireland is good for. Lots of, I mean, if the first 2 minutes should have told us, there's going to be chances. There's going to be a lot of yellow cards, stroke red cards, and it lived up to it for such a long period of time. Look, I think I understand Bowles will be delighted with themselves in the end. But Stephen, there was two pivotal moments before that. Ryan Brennan missed a really good chance of a free header about 7 yards out. Should have really scored. And John Mountley should have been sent off. Not even up for debate. It's a disgraceful decision by the referee because of what's at stake for a club like Drogheda. And he should have sent them off. We don't know. But ultimately, I have to say, it was one of the best performances I've seen from Bowles all season. Gareth made brilliant points last week about Bowles. And in terms of that midfield, that ability to go and scrap. I tell you what, you went and scrapped up in Drogheda the other night. You were forced to seconds. That fourth goal James Clark got is a great example of it. Header from, I think it was Keeley, and Clark is onto it like a flash. He picks up the second ball, brilliant touch, takes a pass to the defender, outstanding finishes. And I thought they were exceptional. And special mention before I forget, Colin Whelan coming off the bench looked really, really good. It's been a difficult time for him. We've all questioned different bits and pieces, but I was delighted for him, and his goal was exceptional, and his work rate on the night and his quality is there for all to see. So great night for Bowles. I can understand, I should hope, they're feeling really sore about the way the game played out.
Well, just on that, Finney, there's a couple of people, well, I say a couple of people, Bohemian supporters have mentioned there was a similar situation with Ryan Brennan in one of the earlier games this season, where Ryan Brennan was yellow carded, probably should have got a second yellow card, and he didn't. And it's one of those cases where maybe, oh, look, these things even out over the season.
Yeah, just on that, I get that, okay? I get it, but it was like, you cannot get away from what's in front of you, Stephen. It was a disgraceful decision by the referee. But it wasn't good enough. There was a linesman on that side as well. Mount, who I love the bones off, should have been sent off. The one earlier on the season, I understand that. And if Ryan had a went for that band, it certainly wasn't as blatant as what Dan Milton done. And to be fair to Balls,
some people said he could have got red carded for the first challenge, but
I don't agree with that. It's right in front of me. But opinions are like we all have one. So fair enough. But take nothing away. Drop the score off the result of free kick as well. To be fair, you know that way. But it should have been down to 10 men. I mean, that's the bottom line. The referee made a huge error at a pivotal moment of the season. And you have to say what you see.
Before we come back to one of the other pivotal moments, like James Clark, he hasn't made any of our teams of the year, but he certainly was close, you would say. Maybe just doesn't have the consistency maybe of some of the players that are in there, Gareth, but like he was absolutely sensational on Saturday, I thought, for Bohemians. And it does look like, sadly, he might be moving on to pastures greener elsewhere. I don't think it's going to be in Ireland. I'm kind of, the word I'm hearing, it could be the UK or maybe further afield. But an absolutely brilliant talent, James Clark.
Yeah, unbelievable. And he's just, I mean, the management team have got such a difficult position because they've so many unbelievable players in that position, that 10, false 9, whatever you want to call it. But a quality player. I remember, I think it was the beginning of last season or the season before, there was rumours of him coming to Derry and I was buzzing. I was going, I would love to see him in a Derry jersey. It didn't happen. He's kind of been inconsistent this year, but when they've needed big goals, he's delivered. Even the goal at the weekend, I didn't see the game, but I saw the result. It looks as if he's not going anywhere. And it's easy for that, the second ball there, to just head it or try and put it over the top for the striker. He's taken on his chest and he's just drove down the left-hand side and he's finished with his left foot. He's a good player. It'll be very interesting to see where he ends up. But again, he's got that mentality. Although he was dropped at the beginning of the year, he came back, he was fit, he was strong, and he was ready to go. So he's obviously a good professional. So wherever he goes, whether it's the UK or further afield, he'll do well with that sort of mentality. So it'll be sorely missed. We don't want to lose these players from the league.
Do you know what, Steve, quickly before we go off him, is work rate really good the other night, and for the Colin Whelan goal, it's actually him putting Andrew Quinn under a bit of pressure. So that was exceptional. The only thing I'm going to say to you, Steve, is just I hope it, for a Bowles point of view, it's not the greener pastures he moves.
I know what you're intimating there, Vinny, but from what I hear, I don't think that's going to happen. But we shall see.
Is he out of contract, Steve-O?
He is out of contract, yeah. So I believe there is an offer there from Bowes. So it's up to Clark whether he stays or decides to take an offer elsewhere. There was another pivotal moment there, Vinny, the red card, Josh Thomas. We haven't really, we talked an awful lot about the mentality going into this game. And you know, I think that the Bowes players looked like they were maybe hurting from not just their own performance against Shelburne, but the criticism that they got. There was a lot of question over the team's bottle, and they looked like they responded to that on Saturday because, as you've alluded to there, they really were getting into the face of the draw, the players all over the pitch. But for Josh Thomas, I just couldn't believe it because Tierney had a head start on him. He still caught him. Got his foot around, made an absolutely brilliant tackle to put the ball out when his team were under pressure of conceding a possible goal. And then they get into a tangle and he throws that elbow. And just what got into his head there was just incredible. And he really did let his team down, you'd have to say.
Yeah, I think that was born out of frustration, to be honest with you. He didn't get a lot of service on the night. He had a couple of flashes just before that where he dropped into a little pocket and created a couple of chances. But you're right, it happened right in front of me. I was obviously in the TV gantry and could see it. And the only thing, and Gareth will know what I mean by this, he catches Tierney, which is very good, wins the tackle. And Tierney falls on him. And you know when you fall on someone like that, Gareth, it's your chance to have, let's just say, a heavy knee or your elbow a little bit heavy. But like that, I'm not in 1 second suggesting that Tierney done that wrong. done what 99.99% of footballers do. You lie in a fella a little bit heavy as Tierney fell onto him. But that reaction has cost his team dearly. And it was just crazy.
Benny, see that sort of dark arts that people talk about as well? That's the stuff that Alan Reynolds was a master at.
Yeah.
When he played. That's what's been missing in Bose. That wee bit of ruthlessness to just do a little bit more. Will it go and close someone down? Will it be win the second ball? Will it put your head in there? Or will it be to leave a bit on someone? That's what I would probably say that Bose are missing. And it's not just... And it's in the whole team, but a couple of players that basically instill that, because that's infectious, that stuff. That stuff, when somebody else does it or does the extra run or leaves a bit on someone, you're more inclined to go and do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Reynolds certainly left some on some of the Bohemian supporters after the game. Vinny, you were taken aback a bit maybe by the comments that he made. He was kind of saying that he referenced that some of the supporters will basically never warm to him, and he's kind of given up trying to win them over. He said it with a bit more colourful language. You can see it on the Off the Ball social media feeds if you haven't seen it already. What were your thoughts on that, Vinny?
Yeah, I just don't understand what he's doing. He's pouring petrol on a fire that will burn early in next season, unless he hits the ground running. And I think ultimately him and the staff there have been very good in terms of the way they've turned the situation around. They were probably, who knows, but it felt like everybody else, they were 45 minutes from the sack. Maybe they weren't. To be fair to the Bulls board, they are very measured in all of the decisions, so maybe he wasn't. But the way they turned around, they deserve huge credit. I've given Reynolds credit where it's due. But I just don't think they're advisable comments for me. I accept there is some people who get very heated around that football club, absolutely. That's why he's paid to give his opinion. They also pay to give their opinion, whether you like it or not. They're entitled to season ticket holders or just buying a general admission ticket. That's just the name of the game. And I just don't agree with the choice of language and the manner in which he spoke, but he probably doesn't give a fuck about me either. So,
listen, we will come back to the game at Talca in a moment. I want to have a look at the other games and the other teams, and let's have a look at the teams that were trying to avoid that relegation playoff. It is Waterford that end up there. Sligo Rovers beat the champions 2-1 at Tallinn. It was a much changed Shamrock Rovers team. They even had Max Kovalevskis in there, who has just scored as a couple of hours after we're recording here, a couple of hours later against Panama in the World Cup. So well done to Kovalevskis and to Michael Noonan as well, scoring that 4-1 win against Panama for Ireland at the Under-17 World Cup. But Sligo Rovers, like, Gareth, were you surprised that it was them that did it so convincingly on the final day?
Yeah, I was. I think we talked last week about how Dumee, Sligo were better off when they haven't, they're real underdogs. They play with that freedom that John Russell has them playing, and they're more dangerous that way. Whereas home to Cork, I think it was the week before that, they just looked as if they were a rabbit in the headlights. They just didn't know what to do when the onus was on them to go and win the game, or they had more of the ball. They're better playing on the counterattack. We talk about styles all the time. That's their strength, and it has been over the last 2 or 3 years. But to go and win in Tala, I don't care whether it's a second string or a third string, most of that second string for Shamrock Rovers would get into quite a lot of the teams in the League of Ireland. So unbelievable result. And to be honest with you, Sligo, I wouldn't worry about Sligo had they finished in the playoff position, and I wouldn't worry about Galway. Waterford, they should have enough, but it'll be very interesting. But Sligo deserved not to be in that that second from bottom, to be honest with you. I think they've done enough throughout the season to convince me that they're a Premier Division team, and I'm hoping that they can kick on from this as well and finish a little bit more comfortable next year.
Yeah, they haven't really wasted much time. It's a good sign, I suppose, from John Russell, and I'm sure the supporters will be happy, Vinny, that they're already offloading players. Meekson has been signed from Bohemians. John Mahon is gone. He's the big name that they've lost this week. So I'd imagine it looks like John Russell's trying to get his business done really early. So there's no messing around. He'd have his squad ready for pre-season, I suppose, early December, really.
Yeah, the key is what he holds on to and what he doesn't hold on to, isn't it? It always is for Sligo, like, what happens to young Elding? Do people come in and chase a couple of their players like McManus? What happens there? Ryan O'Kane, I think Ryan's on loan, isn't he? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Jad Adeeke, does he garner a bit of interest at the club and to let him go on loan? So, yeah, I mean, we don't know what Sligo are going to start next season, which team, in terms of who they will keep and who they'll sign. But, look, they do really well at what they do. I expect them to have three or four players of loan signings in by the time the season starts. And that's a bit hit and miss. But they've got most of them decisions right over the last number of years, and you expect them to do again. But a lot of big decisions for some of their players, as I said. Ryan O'Kane is a great example. Does he try and make that move permanent? Does he go back to Shells where he hasn't really featured? Or does he look to go home to his... Like, Ryan O'Kane's house is about, as the crow flies, about 500 yards from Oriel Park, like, you know. So does he want to do that again if they're going to be a Premier Division club? So there's a lot of decisions that a lot of them players have to make. So, but hopefully from Sligo's point of view, they hold on to enough of them.
Yeah, I think McLean could be the key man, Gareth. Keep him. And because, like, their main issues at the start of this season was just they had injuries. The defenders they had there for centre-back positions were too young, too inexperienced. A lot of potential, but just a lot of inexperience. And just having McLean there and building that defence around him, that's going to be the key, I think, for John Russell next season.
Yeah, 100%. And listen, you've got Gareth McElroy there, and he's one of the young centre-halves that'll have now a year's more experience and 20, 25 matches under his belt. So John Mahon leaving, is he going to be the one that's set up? Then you've got Denham there as well. Good player, really solid, loads of experience. So if you were to go with those three and sprinkle another one on top, centre half is now looking a little bit more stronger. And as Vinny said, see if you lose three or four, which generally happens to Sligo, of the more creative players, you need to be getting into the likes of Mikkelsen, the Pip, someone that is in the fringes of the other top four or five teams that is a point to prove that can go and really do that. I think fullbacks as well. But halfway through the season, centre midfield was a massive, massive problem. They brought in Kieran Harkin and McManus. What's going to happen there? He would be a huge loss should he leave. Kieran Harkin, is he going to stay on for another year? There's just too many question marks. I would imagine John Russell will have spoken to a lot of these players, and he will have a kind of core players that he's going to go into next season and sprinkle a few on top. But all those question marks, if four or five of them don't go your way and John Russell gets answers that he doesn't like, you could be in serious trouble.
Yeah, I think Mikkelsen has potential. I think he's one of those players that, like a Jad Adeeke or other attacking players we've seen going to Sligo Rovers, and Russell obviously has a talent of coaching players to be better. We've seen that. So, I'd be kind of hopeful that they can get something.
Well, you look at Will Fitzgerald, for argument's sake. Yeah. Like, everybody could have had a bit of him and didn't really work out from Derry. I always loved his dribbling ability, and I think he could do a job at one of the top teams off the bench in particular. Is he a main starter for the very top teams? Not sure. But look what Russell got out of him. You look at what he got out of Simon Power when he, you know, didn't do well at Rovers. Then he goes up there and does really well. So, yeah, I agree with you, Mixon. I'm sure the sentiment of Bulls fans who would say he hasn't really worked out for him, that's grand. That doesn't mean his career is finished. It's far from it. I think he's gone to the right club. It has the potential to rebuild him.
Galway United finish above the relegation playoff plays as well. That 1-1 draw down in Waterford, that's a good result, you know, because we were all saying that Waterford were going to finish off strongly with the change of management. And Galway, when you think about it, just a few weeks ago, like, it did look really desperate for them, and after losing Ollie Horgan, and it just looked like they were really scratching around for performances, for results, and they finished so strongly. And to have that comfort of not having to worry about the playoff now as well, it's gone well for them, hasn't it, Gareth?
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, the season was just not good. I mean, having lost Moses halfway through the season, he scored 9 goals and 3 assists in 20 games. Like, he was the main man. And him along with Hickey were the two. Hickey scored, I would say, 90% of his goals in the first half of the season. Then he gets injured and goes out a little bit of form. They lose Moses. They were really struggling. Then Stephen Walsh just steps up and starts scoring goals when they really needed someone. So brilliant to see. And then obviously the emotion of losing Ollie would have been incredibly, really, really sore on the players and John. I mean, we saw him on Off the Ball talking about it.
I mean, he was class last night, wasn't he? In terms brilliant. Of
really, just, really good.
It's somebody you just have a real warm to, wouldn't you? In terms of just came across class last night on Off the Ball. I have to say, really good.
Yeah, and again, Galway were lucky that he was the man that was able to kind of soldier that responsibility of talking to Ollie, going and visiting them, and then relaying that to the players to be able to manage that period and get them out of the playoff position. All credit to them.
But you talk about experience, don't you, Gareth, in terms of them moments. Like, you think of Killian Bruder, Buckley, Jimmy Cowan. Like, you've got a little bit of it there. Horgan is there. And then when your manager is experienced as John, you could just tell that's what we all wanted him to get over the line, because it was so difficult of a season. What happened to Ollie? That you just hope now they can clear the decks in the sense of their minds and refocus. They'll always remember Ollie, obviously. The point I'm making is a football one is they can go against and start next season, because, you know, they've been exciting to watch for the last 2 years in a different way. But they've certainly challenged a lot of teams that have gone down, particularly down to AIM&DC Park.
Yeah, I think there's a few teams, Steve, just on Galway. There's a few teams like Sligo that are just at a little bit of a crossroads when player age, contracts with players, that there's a lot of work to be done, put it this way, in the off-season to really get a better understanding of how they're going to perform next year.
Yeah, well, Brendan Clark is out the door, Galway United. An absolute legend of League of Ireland.
Sure, like, what Clark, a career he's had. Yeah, bus pass for Jay's sake. I think Clarky would get free travel down to Galway.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
No, but he's had an amazing career. I hope he's not finished. And he's had an amazing career. He's always, like, his distribution, his kicking as well is probably what he's underrated for. But he's had a really good career so far. And he's a big part of Galway staying up, to be fair to him.
You wouldn't take it to look at John Caulfield. He's 61. Is he going to stick around with Galway United? Do you think he fancies another season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need him in the league. I think we need all the best managers. I would hate to see him leave. Yeah. Or I'd love to see him at Galway next year and give it.
Only a few of us that can win a league, Gareth. Like, except John and yourself. Yeah.
We look at that Waterford Bray Wanderers playoff in a moment. I suppose when you look across the Premier Division, a lot of people saying that the big story is St. Pat's. Like, they play that last game against Shelburne. Like, Shelburne, you know, we might talk a bit more about them on the last show next week, because they will have European games as well to look forward to. And we'll be looking back on the FAI Cup final. What Joey O'Brien has done with Shelburne, when you think about where they were when Damien Duff left, it was looking really, really bad for Shelburne. And I don't think anybody at that stage would have predicted that they'd be finishing third and even contesting for second place in the final week. And I'd even have Joey O'Brien down as a possible manager of the year. But their opponents on Saturday, St. Patrick Athletic, their fate was in their own hands going to the final day. They were poor against Waterford the week before that. I thought they were poor against Bohemians a few days before that game. Vinny, what's your assessment of St. Patrick's Athletic and some people's title favourites, including mine, at the start of this year?
Yeah, and the fella on the line as well. Nathan Murphy. Just saying. I think easy to kick a wounded animal there, isn't it? I mean, it's been a shocking season. No getting away from it. They're still searching. Stephen Kenny's searching for his best team. When you look at Kelland is in, Cavan is in, all of a sudden Levy's the main man, the two wingers that started the season. We know Zach is injured. They've got to replace Brandon Mealy Mason Mealy's throwback there, but they've got to replace Mason's goals. Can Keane do that? Probably we'll get close to it. But it feels like there's an overhaul needed with Pats, and therein lies the problem. A lot of players under contract. They haven't got a big thing to attract them, as in no European football. And therein lies the problem. My understanding is, from what you see, the manager got everything handed to him last year, and the results for that are fifth. Can't be good enough. He'll go again next season. Will he be given everything he needs, a war chest to go again? We'll have to wait and see. But what he put on the pitch this year ultimately wasn't good enough, and he has to take responsibility for that.
Well, Gareth, yeah, go on.
Yeah, I think the worst thing that happened to him, Stephen Fanny, was going on that 9-game run at the end of last season and getting into Europe, because that almost kind of painted over the cracks of what he was working with in the squad and in the club. And they thought he might have thought after that, you know what, this doesn't need an overhaul. This doesn't need open heart surgery. We've gone and beaten a lot of good teams on the run in. Everybody's good. Everybody's confident. We're going to roll into next year. And it just hasn't happened. It's the same problems that he had when he first came into the club, where they were totally inconsistent. There wasn't enough players that were able to put their neck in the line. There was no balance. There was no hunger. There was no drive. I mean, bar Joe Redmond and Melia, I don't know who can turn around and go, you know what? I had a good season this year. I was on top of my game. I think that's the worst thing that could have happened to him. And I also think not qualifying for Europe will attract the kind of players that he needs for next season.
The only thing is, Joe Redmond is potentially best centre half in the league when he's playing well. The only thing I pull you up on is it was just Mason Mealy who carried the team. Nobody else. I wouldn't even include Redmond. Schoberg and Redmond had okay games here and there. Mason carried the team for the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Easy.
No, but I think Joe is a player that a captain, a hungry player that can go and can be part of it. But apart from those two, you can't turn around and go, yeah, he can definitely be a part of it.
Well, we all like Keane Levy. The challenge is, can Keane become, I don't want to say Chris Forrester because they're different type of players, but can he become a star? Can he get goals? Can he add all of that stuff? We've yet to see, but he's brilliant to watch. Absolutely outstanding. Simon Power, how good is he? Yeah, I think he has all the pace to burn. He seen that wonderful goal against Shamrock Rovers. Does the manager have to make a big call on some big names? They're fan favourites.
Forrester.
Yeah, does he? I don't know. I mean, Chris is an absolute star of the league. What does he do there? Does he, and you can't just say, well, we signed another midfielder and we'll only play Chris. You need to keep your squad happy. People want to play. You don't see it the way the manager sees it. So a lot of big calls to make in that dressing room. And has he got the tools to make them, as in the financial backing? I think the owner's given him everything he's wanted. Will that continue into next year? And is there players available? And is there players that want to sign for Pats now that they don't have Europe? They're the big decisions. Like, if you're sitting down as a player, if you're Gareth McLean and your choice is Joey O'Brien at Shells or Stephen Kenny at Pats, it's probably, before the discussion started, you're probably the favourite is Shelbourne in most players' mind.
Lads, can I... Like, he did say his plan was to build that team around Rommel Palmer in defence of Stephen Kenny.
And then when Rommel he was Palmer, injured.
picks up an injury, and that has basically kiboshed his plan for the season. So,
did he say that before he was injured or after?
Well, I think that was the plan, but then he said that that was the plan at the start of the season, was to build his team around Ronald Palmer. So,
Steve, you can't rely on one player to I totally get what he wants to do, and he's an unbelievable player, and he's young, and he's got loads of talent. But I don't know, Vinny will probably tell you, you can't build it around one player. You've got to have options. You've got to have four or five really, really standout players that you turn around and you go, you're the five that's going to drive the dressing room, it's going to drive standards, and it's going to drive the season. One player. And I understand he's a good player, but now Mason's gone as well. How are you going to replace all that, those goals?
Yeah, so I'm just looking for, you know, ways that we can defend Stephen Guinier, because we know he's a top quality manager. He's proven that over, you know, two decades almost. But Palmer's injured, Aidan Keane is injured, Sean Hoare is injured. Like, they're big, big players to lose in a season, and it's very hard.
Well, so is Paddy Barrett. He's only had Shelbourne.
But like, he's only had one transfer window, hasn't he? Just the last close season transfer window.
No, but so was Paddy Barrett at Shelbourne. So was,
Shelbourne were poor when Paddy Barrett wasn't there.
But you're judged on over it. Sounds like I'm slagging off Stephen Kenny here I'm just trying to say to you, injuries to three or four players, it's just that shit happens. Mm. It's football. And if they're your more important players, it might affect you here and there. But like, where Pats have finished for what they've invested into the club and the team isn't good enough. Like, it's no one player or two players getting injured. And like, that's just life. That's football. It's harsh. The biggest, like, you can defend Stephen because it's actually close on. It was 1998, so in 3 years' time, he's 30 years managing. Mm. He's had huge success in that. He will most likely get Pats right, but he got Pats wrong this year. It's just the bottom line. That's not me having a go off somebody or in a smart arts. It's just the fact, and he has to fix it. And this is one of his biggest challenges in a long time. Obviously, the Irish international thing was the biggest one he ever faced, but this is a big challenge for him to get this side back where Pats people want to be.
And I think, Steve, it's massive challenge, and it's not the fact that they finished fifth; it's a manner that they finished fifth, and it's the way that they're playing and how they're playing. It's just not. There's just something not right, and it's up to Stephen to fix it.
Well, we've spoken about both of you playing for Stephen in the past, and you've given me small bits of insight into what it was like. His big weapon always as a manager seems to be as a motivator, as a manager who can get into players' heads and get better performance out of a player that maybe people wouldn't have expected. And I'm just wondering, and you touched on the fact that he's there 30 years in management, Vinny, and I want to get both your viewpoints on this. Is there a generation gap there now between Kenny and the players that he's now managing? Like teenagers, players in their early 20s, mid-20s, that may not respond to the kind of motivational tactics that he would have used with players in the past. Is that something, and does that kind of, I suppose, the damage that was done to him when he was managing the Irish national team, is there a combination of those two things maybe that are having an effect, do you think, on his management skills? And I know we're kind of speculating here.
I don't believe that's the case. But the fact he failed at Shamrock Rovers is not because Stephen is a bad manager. It's because the combination of the players that were in that dressing room, the combination of him and his staff, just didn't work. It didn't marry together. We don't know if that's the case with Pats. We will know in time, because if this run continues into next year, you would have to say that it isn't the perfect combination. So the answer to that is not. I'm not sitting on the fence, Steve. I'm saying, Stephen is a brilliant manager with the right people around him. One, on his staff, and two, I touched on this something separately today. His staff. We're not going to get into the international debate, but he didn't get a staff right. That's just the bottom line. That's just the truth. Him and Damien, two unbelievable characters in Irish football, they're going to work out together. The dogs in the street knew that, or if anyone that knew the two of them. So I'm not harping on about the staff. I'm just saying, is the staff and him right? Is the staff and his players right? Is the staff and the ownership right? We don't know, and we'll find out in time. A 12-month period is not long enough. Most managers don't get the grace. He'll probably get because of the length of his contract. But he deserves it, as I said.
Yeah.
He's one of the all-time great managers. We've yet to see, but he's been tested now. And I personally, hand on heart, hope he comes through this and gets his team successful again. But it's a challenge, and it's one I'm looking forward to see how he reacts to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'd agree with that, Vinny. Let's... I said we'll talk about Shelbourne more next week. There is a playoff in the First Division this Friday night. It's at Talcott Park, the home of Shelbourne. And it is Waterford against... Actually, sorry, I did forget to mention, of course, Gareth, your own beloved Derry City. Quick question on them, because, you know, we did speak a bit more about Tiernan Lynch and the players and the squad and all that kind of stuff last week. From what you've seen there now, and you do expect there's going to be a lot of turnover in that squad in the close season, can Tiernan Lynch put up a big challenge to the champions, Stephen Bradley, next season?
Well, I think that's the key question. I think I would not like big turnover, but it looks like there's going to be big turnover just purely because of who the manager likes, who he wants in the club and he doesn't want. I think he's going to find out very quickly how hard it is to replace those players that are possibly going to leave. And I think it's going to be very difficult. He's letting players go, and there's talk of letting players go that I think should be staying in the club, young local players. But if you look just finishing second, I think that was the ceiling for Derry City this year. I know a lot of people won't like it, and the talk about budgets and all this. Tiernan came in late in the window. The amount of overhaul, the consistency wasn't there, but it was whenever he couldn't sign anyone late on in the first half. They've lost two games in the last 20. They've won four of the last five. When he gets a salt and they've played five, six games without a striker, they are disciplined, they're resilient, they don't make mistakes, which is important this league. They're playing for the manager. He's getting a lot out of a lot of the players. There's some standout this year, which I'm hoping most of them will stay. Can he challenge? Of course he can. I mean, losing two out of 20 games, if he continues that next year, then there's too many draws in there, yes, but it's a lot easier to turn draws into wins than it is bad defeats and wins. So I'm excited about next year. I can't wait to see what business is done in the off season. I would like to have seen the business done early. I'm hoping it's been done early so that it's less competition from other clubs, but there's going to be a lot of competition. There's a lot of Dublin clubs with a lot of money.
What would stop it getting done early, Gareth? Because I'd imagine Tiernan Lynch knows what he wants for next season. And you've kind of spoken about before sometimes with the issues going on further up the chain at Derry City. Like, will he have the full backing of, you know, the man who holds the purse strings there? Will he be able to get out and sign the players that he wants early and move on the players that he doesn't want?
Yeah, absolutely. Philip will back him. Philip has backed him. There's talk of the budget being healthy next year as well. The problem I have with Tiernan and Philip, and there's no issues there, it's the support to do recruitment properly and the processes in place to do that, not just through agents. Agents will throw anything your way and they're just in it for a quick buck, and you'll generally get the bottom of the pile. You need to be identifying players and have an idea of what your positions you want in, the best left backs, the best right backs, the best centre halves in the country of all ages, and you need to be able to go identify them and go and get them. This idea of ringing up an agent or four or five agents and saying I need a left-sided centre half, I mean, it's lazy. That's what it is. And Derry off the field just don't have those structures in place, and that's what's going to let them down. And it has what's let them down, and why we've seen so much overhaul over the last two or three years.
Gareth, my boy Diallo, what's the crack? Is he going to stay around, or what do you think?
God knows. I pray to God he does, because he's been a massive influence in the team. And I tell you what, this year he's flying fit as well, scoring goals. He was absolutely brilliant against Shamrock Rovers. I don't know, is the honest. I know there's a few teams sniffing around them, but I hope he stays.
Vinny, they have finished so strongly this season, Derry City. It's been a brilliant end to the season for them, finishing second place. Like, if they can continue that form, and I know St. Pat's finished the season strongly last season. We all thought they'd win the title, and it didn't happen. So let's not fall into that trap once again, but they surely should be. I know we'll see their squad properly before the season starts next season, but you would imagine the financial backing they have there. I know, as Garrett says, there's going to be always issues trying to attract players to go up to Derry, but they should be challenging next year, shouldn't they?
It all depends on the recruitment. I mean, when you look at people, whether they can hold on to certain people in key areas is the thing. I mean, they've been really, really good of late. They found a way of playing. It's a sort of a solid enough back foot. Fleming giving them a bit of attacking threat on that sort of left-hand side. He's been an exceptional signing. Duffy, with the freedom of the park, has been brilliant. I didn't see that. I thought I would have preferred him to play left wing, but that freedom he has, he seems to really enjoying it as he's getting that little bit older. Garrett touched on they probably need a centre-forward. The challenge is, if they put a centre-forward into the way they're playing, then they're a little bit more open behind them. And the key is, can they hold on to Adam O'Reilly? Has just been okay this year, but he gives them huge legs. Diallo is really important. But then people are really important to their group. So it's a bit of watch this space. When you think of Sam Todd, probably feels he should have played a little bit more. For example, if another manager was to throw Bukes at him, he would leave, you would feel, or potentially leave. So there's a lot of players like that we just don't know what Derry team are going to start next season. But, you know, we've all had a little dig at Derry at different stages this year, so you must give Tiernan credit. I mean, finishing second, you can only beat what's in front of you, and they've done that with the exception of Shamrock Rovers.
Actually, Gareth, is there any update on the pitch? Do you know, has there been any update on the... I know there's issues going on there with the council and everything, and you've also got another club involved there, so...
Yeah, I don't want to say too much, but I think the pitch will be changed next year at some stage.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we could have a grass surface, but like that'll be during the League of Ireland season, you think that could happen, or...
I think that's what the club are trying to work out with the council at the minute, when it actually happens. There might be time they're going to have to play away from the Brandy, which again can impact it as well, the season in general.
That's the problem, isn't it, when you try, like, we're playing summer football, so you can't just put down a grass pitch and get it to grow 2 weeks before a game.
Yeah, but it's badly needed. I mean, even we talked about recruitment there, trying to recruit players with the current pitch. I mean, it's difficult enough. And that's why I think Tiernan deserves massive credit for kind of overcoming all those obstacles. But a new pitch is a must, just to attract players, and the stadium deserves it as well. I mean, the stadium's looking incredible. The North Stand, I mean, if you had seen the atmosphere, and we saw it in the Shamrock Rovers game, it was incredible. It was really good. They've set the standard now at that. Full stadium, change the pitch, and things will be looking up a lot better.
Lots of fireworks. let's move on to the playoff. Waterford against Bray Wanderers at Talca Park. That's this Friday night. Are we giving Bray Wanderers any chance here, Vinny? They've got, like, you look to their team, it's a really young team. There's still a lot of teenagers in the team. The captain's only 20. And then you've got this young fella, Billy O'Neill. Absolute social media sensation. Every time I open up my social media accounts, I'm seeing Billy O'Neill. He's coming back from a family holiday, shows his dedication. 11 goals, 11 assists this season. He's going to be one to watch in the future, and one to watch on Friday night, I think.
Yeah, I think Bray will cause them all sorts of problems. I mean, I think there's a feel-good factor around Waterford, but the results don't really back that up overly either. That's the thing. Look, Waterford have a lot of good players. We know they've got Porrick, Hodge in terms of leading goal scoring that, but they've Noonan, Aralehi's in there. They've got a bit of experience. Tom Lonergan has done well for them at different stages. So, Waterford are Red Hot favourites. What a shock of any of us if, you know, Bray got a result. I don't think so. Bray are an exciting young team. They've picked up a lot of those sort of players. Their level of the advantage of being so close to Dublin means that there's a certain amount of players that are just under the radar, just couldn't break into teams. You've got a lot of them in the young setup. And they probably all need to be 7, 8, 9, 10 out of 10 on the night for them to get results. It would be a shock, but at the same time, I could see Bray will push Waterford all the way. I just think Waterford too much about them in terms of the squad they have.
Yeah, like it's, I know you were a bit kind of concerned about Waterford for a couple of weeks, Gareth. Would you be still feeling like that?
Yeah, I am. I thought out of the three of them, Galway and Sligo, I thought Waterford were the club that if they drop out of the Premier League, that was the one that you didn't want in the playoff position. They're there now. They're going to have to deal with it. Lawler, as Vinny said, Lawler got some good results initially, but a bit like Stephen and Pat's, then the underlying current or the underbelly just came to the fore again, and they just started picking up a lot of average results. Whereas Bray, young, fearless, energy, commitment. I mean, this is literally a free hit for them. I don't know much about Bray. I don't watch them a lot, but are they ready off the pitch to step up to Premier Division? Would they add to the Premier Division? Are they ready for revenue streams to increase?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Squad, have they got the finances? This will all come to the fore should they be successful against Waterford. But Waterford on paper should have far too much for them. And the experience of Waterford with those sort of players that Vinny mentioned, should be too much.
Would you have known Paul Heffernan at all, Vinny? Would you have come across him over the years managing Bray?
No, not really. I mean, just small bits and pieces. And obviously, me and you done that game in the playoff game last year. If you remember, they were actually lucky at times in that playoff game.
Very impressed by them last year, actually, I thought.
Yeah, a couple of things went against them. And so, look, it is a sort of 70-30 game in Waterford's favour, but a lot of results have gone the wrong way on paper, if that makes sense, in the playoff over the years.
Treaty United knocking Cove Rambers, like nobody would have expected that. That was
and the experience great work that Cove have, it was a shock. So, look, I think all the other stuff is by the way. I mean, let's hope it's a headache Bray have from their point of view in terms of can they manage, but I think if they're not Premier Division licensed, well, let's hope they can, it's up to them to do it on the pitch as well. We'll see. But it feels like water for their head.
I think it's set up the way Waterford play and the way it looks like Bray play. It looks like there'll be goals out of the book.
Yeah.
Give it a rattle. Like, it's not going to be a 1-0 either way, I don't think.
Yeah. It's it'd be disappointing. Disappointing if we lost both Munster sides in the Premier Division. Maybe not for Derry City or their supporters.
Exactly, they'll trip to Waterford.
Indeed.
We'll not miss that one.
Lads, the FAI Cup final on Sunday. I think we're up to about 30,000 tickets for the match at the Aviva Stadium. Always a great day out, the FAI Cup final. Bowles Bridge is always buzzing with supporters, all the bars and restaurants and everything. It's great revenue stream for all those surrounding hostelries. And so the match itself, though, Cork City, I'd imagine, will bring a big support up. Let's make a case here, Vinny, for Cork City win the final against Shamrock Rovers. Can they do it?
Yeah, copy and paste. I mean, what they did in the semi-final, it was exceptional. They've got to copy and paste that. What we've seen in the cup final and the semi-final and the aftermath, what it was, the players speaking about Sean McGuire, about Bulger, their experience. They spoke about the value of a cup final, what it means to a player to be involved with the cup final, to build up the cup final week. And he played on that with the young players. And when you listen to all the interviews after the semi-final, that was the sort of common thread. So they've got to get the very best out of themselves. They're up against, the juggernaut that is Rovers. Yes, they're out of form. But, I mean, I think the importance of the fourth goal from Cork point of view this week is absolutely massive. I think if they went behind in the game, you'd fear for them because they're not on a good run of form. They have been relegated. I think the fourth goal is like all cup finals, but more importantly, when a team is like Cork's been relegated, if they were to get that and something to hang on to, Well, then we've got an interesting one. I think if Rovers get it, it could get a little bit ugly at times. I think Rovers have to pick between their teeth for the cup. But there's a health warning that the form in the league hasn't been very good. But look, Sean Maguire, can Keaton come off the bench and have a, you know, that wonderful story that cup finals throw up? That's the one for me. Let's see how that happens. But the bigger pitch, the way Rovers play football, they're red hot favourites.
Yeah, they sure are. Rory Keating is an interesting one. Garrity came off the bench against Derry City. Like, he's obviously not Matt Sharp. He's been out of action for so long. Could he make any kind of an impact off the bench on Sunday?
Absolutely. And I tell you what, it'll give the dressing room a lift, the fact that he's even there. Because I watched Cork at the beginning of the year under Tim, and everything, and I mean everything, went through Rory Keating. It was throw-ins, goal kicks, flick-ons. He was so important to them. So having lost him and a couple of other players, Cahill O'Sullivan, to basically go through the cup and get them into the final, it's an unbelievable achievement. I just think... And discipline and mistakes will be at a premium. If you think about just the game past there, Cork's last league game, the goal that they conceded against Derry, Winchester had the freedom in the centre of the pitch. They lift up his head, pick a pass over the centre half, and Michael Duffy just headed in. If you look at Shamrock Rovers' goals against Kerry, it was Watts in the middle of the park just lifting it over the centre half's page, man drew it back and Burke in. They can't afford to do any of that. And then if you look at St. Pat's, the goals against St. Pat's for Cork, it was all through the middle. It was, everything was high energy through the middle, press, win the ball high and try and get opportunities. So it'll be a tough, tough game for Cork. But I think if they have, of course, Keaton coming off the bench with 15, 20 minutes to go and it's 0-0 or 1-1 or even they're one behind, I mean, it'll give Maguire, Bulger, and even the young players a huge boost. It's just staying in the game and staying compact and not giving up chances. Because let me tell you something, Rovers don't give up chances. Mm. So any chances they do have, they're going to have to be clinical.
Can I mention another man who I think could be important in this game, Vinny, a man with cup final experience who maybe is being overlooked when you speak about the likes of Bulger and Shaunie Maguire, Rory Feely. Played in the cup final for Bohemians, took St. Pat's to extra time and penalties. He went over to England and then came back to play for Cork City. Like, I've seen him a few times for Cork City this season. He's looked good. He looks like a player with centre-back experience that is helping the players around him. Do you think he could, you know, I suppose, Joseph, actually, here's my point, I suppose, in general, is that speaking to a couple of former players during the week in the build-up to this cup final, they're kind of saying, well, the wide-open spaces could kill Cork City. That's going to be the big issue for them, the size of the pitch. So I'd imagine a player like Rory Feely is going to be very important in helping to communicate with the rest of the defenders to kind of get them in position to make sure they're not kind of stepping out or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I think so. I think having that experience of being in the place, and I spoke about experience in the semi-final with them other lads, but Feely has been there on the big day. And sometimes, like, it's a lazy enough way of putting it to you, because I think we've heard it before, but you can lose a cup final off the pitch before you even walk onto it, you know? You've got to play the game, not the occasion. Mm. The occasion is brilliant for your family. Winning a cup in one way is better than winning a league in terms of the day, your family are all there, the national stadium, all of that stuff. So it is important that players like Feely show their experience in that. And, you know, I mean, I was at a great cup final years ago. Bray were in it and all the Finn Harps fellas turned up with their hair bleached blonde, you know. People do stupid things around cup finals, and that's where the experience kicked in. So that's important. But you're right, pointed. The big pitch, Feely will be a help on set pieces as well. Rovers are very, very strong set pieces and building that. But the way Rovers play and they probe and probe and probe, that's where the experience of someone like Feely will kick in. And are they switched on the defenders beside them? And someone doesn't switch off, or a little run by Gaffney down the side, or a ball coming from late run. And they're all the little wins they've got to do before they can even think about winning the game. So there's lots of little minute things going to happen before the game and then in the game. And they're two separate things, but they're both equally important. So the experience of Feely is huge.
And I think, Steve, just to mention on the pitch side of things, I mean, that's what we were talking about last year when I was at the cup final about Drogheda, that the pitch will be too big for them. Marky Kent hasn't got the legs to get up and down. I honestly don't think so. It'll come down to the basics, especially Cork, doing the basics way, way better than Shamrock Rovers, or doing the basics way better than they have been in the league. And that's just closing people down, getting close to people, because we know the talent that Shamrock Rovers have, especially in the forward positions. So if they can stop crosses, they can get the second balls, they can outrun Shamrock Rovers like they did the Pats in the first or in the semi-final, and then take your chances. There's no reason why they can't get the first goal, and then we'll have a real final.
Yeah, what's the way? Like, it's mad, isn't it, when you think about it? Gerard Nash into his first, you know, job in League of Ireland football, first senior management job, and he's there with David Moyer as well as his assistant to, you know, very very capable football coaches. And David Moyer, I'm sure, has added a huge amount being on his staff there as well. So how do they approach it, Vinny? Like, how do they set the team up for this game on Sunday?
I think ultimately Cork have to be pragmatic to a point. They've got to win moments, they've got to win spells. Like, they've got to get through that first 15 minutes. I said to you, I think if Rovers got the first goal, you'd fear for them getting overrun. So it's all little moments, it's all little bits and pieces. The players will know Shamrock Rovers inside out. There's not a lot more you can do in that sense in terms of video analysis and all of that bits and pieces. It's just the art of management is inspiring footballers. That's the challenge. All the technical, tactical stuff you can try, whether that's five at the back or shutting down Rovers. Gareth's right, I'm not dismissing the point about pressing people, is can they inspire a group of men to go and get a result against all the odds? That's the challenge. It's not just their challenge. It's why the senior players will play a part in the performance of the younger players. They've just got to play above and beyond their levels and hope Rovers come down one or two. And then who knows, like, it's the magic of the cup. So that's the biggest challenge for them. I think if you start going down, you need to do this tactically and that tactically. I think they've got to do a bit of that, but that's not the most important thing, believe it or not. I think it's about inspiring this group to go on to something special.
And I think, Vinny and Steve, you'll agree, like, Gerard Nash, when he first came in, he was kind of more focused on the tactical stuff, splitting the fullback, splitting the centre halves, getting the six, playing through the six. He's kind of evolved into more pragmatic. I mean, if you look at the goals against Pats, all through the middle and not like patterns of play. It was all just mistakes from Pats a little bit, but also a decent ball from centre half through to Shawnee. So that's what they need to do. And they need to have serious discipline when they're doing that and just cut out the mistakes that have cost them.
1987, Shamrock Rovers did the double. Vinny, is there pressure with trying to do that once again for Stephen Bradley?
No, I don't think there's pressure. I think there is a certain amount of internal pressure. There's no doubt that you don't get a lot out of the dressing room. You never do out of top teams until they become not a top team. That's when you start hearing the noise and stuff. I think the pressure is internal. I think you want to do the double. I think they've been a great side for the last five of the last six seasons. You can argue where that they stand and all of that stuff. There's been different variants of this Rovers team. But I think the double is something. That's a proper marker to lay down if a team does a double. And therefore, I think they've targeted that from a while out. So that's why a late form is a cause of concern. But I think they're internally so motivated for the double that I think they'll get it ultimately. And
well, just on the league form, then why do you think it's been so poor of late?
I think at times the three or four of the back five have been missing. The European stuff where he's prioritised certain games over different bits and pieces or cup games. He's given the Kerry game more attention to detail than a big European night, which is, you know, unheard of.
And I do take your point in regards to the injuries, okay? And listen, I'm doing devil's advocate here as well. But, like, we're always told that this Shamrock Rovers squad, there's another team sitting on the bench just as good as the starting team. So but why have they struggled then if they've got those injuries?
So, sorry, that's the elephant in the room. I get that. I'm telling you why they have. I also think they've got huge questions in terms of they've got to bring in new players to kick on again next season. Because if they just stand still, well, standing still with the squad they have, it ain't good enough. Because they've lost 6-7 games of football this year within the league. Generally, that shouldn't be enough to get over the line or be very close to it. And some of the last couple of defeats are when the job is done, to be fair to them. So, but there is a problem there. There is 4 or 5 players that have had long-term injuries, haven't come into the team and kicked on. So they do need an influx of players into the squad. We don't know the situation with Jack Bourne. We imagine he's not going to go back, but we don't know. But they definitely need... They're chasing a centre-forward. Is the lad they brought in from the north,
McGovern,
the right one? I think he potentially is, but it's potentially is. So there's a lot of stuff to find out about him. Did he hold on to Josh Honan? Does he go to the UK at the end of the season? So there is genuine concerns around where Rovers are heading into next year, albeit they'll start next season red hot favourites.
Yeah. And again, the beginning of this season as well, there was question marks under the age profile of the squad, and they did unbelievable. The recruitment was brilliant. And you know what I like about Shamrock Rovers? They never go out and sign 5, 6, 7 players. It's always just adding 2 or 3 and getting it right. Their recruitment's been very good. And just on, Steve-O, the cup final as well, I believe, anyway, in my philosophy, see if you sacrifice a European game or 3 or 4 league games for a specific target, that sacrifice generally pays off. And if he's concentrating on getting the double, they've put them in their best position possible to go and do it.
Well, there is talk that Ike Atten's away. That's the match tomorrow night in Europe. That's going to be a team where he will basically not risk any frontline players in that game. Is it the right call?
Yeah, I think so. When you start at the beginning of the year, I mean, winning the double is top priority. Put yourself in this position. You don't fall at the final hurdle. You do not take your foot off the gas. You do what needs to be done. And if that means not playing senior players and communicating that to them, so they're not too disappointed that they're going to be playing the marquee game on Sunday.
The only challenge is, Garrett, is like, would 4 or 5-0, 6-0, like a proper hammering affect you going into Sunday? I don't think it will, but that would be the concern. You've got to find the right balance with a team that isn't embarrassed. I don't think you will be, by the way.
And it's funny, and we can go through it when we go into the teams. See, when you have Pico and Grace, I think those two are massive. Clearly, yes. But you've got others that can maybe sit in there. Those two are massive, and they have been for the last 5 or 6 years. So I it'll be very interesting to see what he does with Grace.
Yeah, interestingly, Lee Grace, Roberto Lopez, Ronan's gone, obviously. Graham Burke, 3 players, I think, still surviving that starting team in the FAI Cup final in 2019. So a lot of experience there as well. In winning cup finals, winning big prizes.
You just bring up 2019 cup final every single week. Every week. I'm looking at me runners-up medal from it there.
Let's see. What kind of team did Vinny pick here? Yeah, it's Pat Hoop, Michael Duffy, Jamie McGrath, Sean Gannon, Sean Murray, Robbie Benson, Dane Massey, Brian Gartland, Danny... What a team that was for Dundalk. How did they get beaten in that cup final?
How did you lose that one,
Van? That's unbelievable.
They only won 4 of the 5 trophies, sure.
That's a shocking managerial performance on the day, it must be said. Georgie Kelly on the bench, how could you do it? I actually saw Georgie in St. Stephen Green Shopping Centre there last week. Asked him, was there any chance he'd come back to Fishbourne? But he just laughed at me, probably going, what are you talking about?
Pre-contract signed for
Derry. I'm looking forward to the cup final. Always look forward to the cup final, lads. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in Manchester with Brian Kerr on Sunday, so I won't get to be there. But listen, best luck to the two teams. It's always a great occasion, and it really is the blue ribbon event of Irish club football. Lads, let's finish this very long podcast that we've had today with our teams of the year. And I've got the two teams of the year here. I've got the advantage where I've seen both your teams, and you guys haven't seen mine. And I think there'll be one or two little shocks in my team. Let's see if you laugh, cry or hurl. Let's look at Finney's team first. So Finney's team of the year for the Premier Division season. He's got Luke Dennison in goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got a back four of Danny Grant on the right. Sorry, is it a back four? Yeah. Josh Honahan on the left. And then you've got Lopez and Keeley, centre-backs. I like old school Vinny. He's gone with the right-back number two, left-back number three. That's the way it should be. Lopez and Keeley. So it's three-quarters of the Shamrock Rovers defence there. And Conor Keeley obviously of Drogheda United, along with his club mate Luke Dennison in goal. We've got Kerr McEnroy in midfield with Dawson Devoy and Graham Burke. And then a front three of Pádraig Amont, Mason Melia and Mikey Duffy.
Yeah, well, so can I just say, there's a couple of things. Quick spiel for Charles, hasn't been there long enough. But there's about three keepers that could argue. Ball's goalkeeper, St. Pat's goalkeeper, Charles' keeper in particular. And Derry's finished the season really well. The goalkeeper one is a difficult one. Mm. I tell you what, leaving Harry Wood out broke me heart. Broke me absolute heart, leaving Harry Wood out.
Shocking decision, lads. Shocking decision.
But like, some of us have to manage. I have a few trophies here, Steve-O. Barrett has none, so I can stand over.
Well, you've lost
your touch, lad. You've lost your touch.
I think the most interesting pick you've got there, because you've obviously gone from Mason Melia. He wasn't in the PFEI team. I think a lot of people thought that was a strange call. Danny Grant in a right back. So
who's the best right back? Are you thinking of the PFEI team? So where would you, like, Paddy Barrett isn't a right back. He didn't play at the first start of the season. Bang has done really well for Chelsea. Again, only like poor enough for Cork and only came in.
Poor enough for Cork.
Yeah. It was Cork's best player. And I tell you what, it's funny when you start this, right? See right backs and right midfielders in the league at the minute. Mm. I was struggling big time. Like competition.
To be fair, Norris has done really well at Shells on the other side.
But you could have had Lamb in there.
I think Lamb has been excellent for Drogheda as a wing back. Excellent. Mm. But Danny Grant has had a great season. Stephen doesn't want to admit it because where he signed from. Danny Grant has been absolutely outstanding as a wing back.
Yeah,
he's impressed me.
But he's been really good this season.
He has been really good. I would not argue with that choice. Or it's not my choice now, but I think it's a good call. Absolutely, I'd agree with you there. Garrett, your team. Luke Dennison in goal. You've got Mbeng right back. You've got Lopez and Keeley centre half. Josh Honahan on the left. So I think there seems to be a common agreement there with Honahan, Keeley and Lopez in the back line. You've got Mbeng right back. Then the centre midfield, you've got Kerr McEnroy, Dawson Devoy. And then you've got a three-pronged attack with Graham Burke, Harry Wood and Michael Duffy. So you've gone with Harry Wood instead of Mason.
4-2-3-1.
Oh, sorry. You've got Pádraig Amont up there, of course. So you've left out Mason Melia and you've gone with Harry Wood to accommodate that Burke and Duffy as well with Amont up front. So Harry Wood instead of Mason Melia.
Yeah, Harry Wood, Mason Melia. That was I was actually going to put Melia and for Burke. That was the big toying cost I was going for. But there was a load of toying costs. I mean, Healy, Winchester, Tierney, there could have been quite a few in there. But the balance is much better. And I reckon my balance beats Vinny's team every day of the week.
Well, that's, can I just shock you here? Here's my team. And of course, I never played football at a professional level. I never managed a professional level. So who cares, really? But anyway, I'm going for Dennison in goal as well. I agree with Gareth on the right back. I'm going with Mbeng. I think he's a super player. Lopez, Keeley and Honahan. We all agreed there. I've gone with McEnroy in midfield and Dawson Devoy. But in with that midfield. I'm going with a 4-1-2-3 formation here, okay? In with McEnroy and Devoy. I've got Jack Byrne. And then ahead of Jack Byrne and Devoy, I've got Amond, Melia and Duffy. Lads,
if you've got Jack Byrne and you've got to have Moses, you got to have Moses in there.
No, hang on a second. How many games? How many games did Jack Byrne play this season?
His ratio is very good, assist and all that.
I'm not even talking about that. 21 games he played in this season. That's well over half a season. And
Moses played 20 and he scored 9 goals and 2 assists.
Well, listen, okay, that's fair enough. But listen. Galway United finished in 7th position. Shamrock Rovers wouldn't have won this title without Jack Byrne. Honestly.
While he was there, he was influential, but I'm not having that. That was like the Shells winger last year. No,
lads, come on now. Vinny, yeah. You look really
angry.
I'm
surprised
at you. I hear what you're saying, but you're wrong, because the other three in midfield have done it over the 30-odd games. The Voy's been exceptional. McEnroy's been pivotal to what Shells have done, that European run they're on. Fair play to Steve, but you're wrong.
this fella, like, and he was absolutely sensational.
Well, Jack Bourne's best player in the league. That's a separate argument. We're talking about over the season in that midfield, those players have had a better season. Team of the year, Stephen, have had a better year.
You could say I've left Graham Bourke out. You've both went
Graham Bourke. So, being excellent.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Has he been as consistent?
My debate was Bourke or Harry Wood into that position as well. And that's the challenge. I mean, you go back a few years and you almost knew who the player of the year was. Now it's a huge argument around, you know, Duffy. I accept Duffy's probably there gone. But then you look at Pico Lopez as a player, as a captain of the league winning team, what he's done, qualified for a World Cup. Could you take that away from Josh Honahan? Like, you win a league. You win a league. Josh Honahan being probably Rovers' best player.
I think Honahan's been their best player, definitely.
Yeah, so do I. But if Pico lifts the cup and the league and qualifies for the World Cup, I mean, my God, there's a... If Carisbrook did seasons, you'd be laughing.
It
still wouldn't be enough to take it away from Michael Duffy. It will be a catastrophe if he doesn't want it. It's mental.
Yeah.
What was that, Pep Guardiola? You sound like Pep Guardiola with your catastrophe. I go for Mikey Duffy as well, player there. But I was looking through the stats, lads, last week. Derry City won five matches. No, sorry, not they didn't just win five matches, but there was five matches Derry City won 1-0 and Mikey Duffy got the winner.
19 points just off winners, right? And he scored the first in a 2-0 win, and that wasn't even considering his 11 assists. It is the most, like, I just bear dread to think where Derry would have finished if he hadn't performed this year. It's a one-man team, some would say.
Yeah. Well, this certainly isn't a one-man team, and I hope we'll have the two of you with us next year, lads. Unless Mikey Duffy wants to come on, Gareth. If you get Mikey Duffy on, might be able to. Finney's doing an awful lot of other stuff. He's on TV and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't need us anymore, really, does he? Finney will be there Friday night at Talca Park. I'm going to try and go.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Well, listen, lads, it has been a pleasure. We'll come back next week and we'll have a little review of the cup before we go into the closed season. And anybody going to the cup final? Too long for you, Gareth. You won't be able to make the trek down.
No, I'll be there.
Oh,
I'll
he's
there.
Going. Fantastic. Yeah. Vinny, you going to buy him a burger?
Nope.
I owe Vinny this time, I think.
Great stuff. Listen, lads, enjoy the cup final and we'll chat to you next week.
Cheers,
the League of Ireland Pod on Off the Ball, brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 0.0. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.